Blog Talk Radio.
Appreciate you taking time out your busy schedule to talk to us. We have a very interesting show tonight, along with a special guest. Give you the number to call in if you would like to have a comment. That number is 929-477-2762. Again, the number is 929-477-2762. And, of course, I am joined with my co-host, Mr. O. How are you today?
I am great. I tell you, you just don't know what that theme song does for me. I get excited when I hear that.
Yeah, it is. It's cool.
I love it.
Yep.
So how was your day?
Today was pretty good. You know, busy as always. Never a dull moment. I guess that's good while I'm still living. Yep.
That's always exciting, you know. I was I'm out here doing what I do on these streets and perusing different venues and everything like that, and my customers feel like I don't have nowhere else to go other than be with them.
Yeah.
So they like to just start talking. I don't want to just walk off, you know, because I'd be like, you know, it's a busy day for me, but. So I try to give them 5 to 7 minutes of my time so they feel as if I, you know what I'm saying, have compassion and I care about what
right.
Yeah, sometimes they do be talking pretty good, but, you know, I'll be like, look, I'm busy today, man. You should know Thursday and Friday. Come on. We got to roll.
Yeah, got to move fast. Exactly.
Got to move fast.
The other weekend, I forgot to tell you, I went to my aunt's birthday party, and she turned 100. 100. I forgot to mention that. But anyway.
Wow, she is she's single?
Yeah. She had two husbands. Yeah. They're gone.
So
they beat her. Yeah.
Does she have any wealth?
Not that I'm aware of that I would have any partaking in, no.
I have a homeboy for her. He is every bit of, what, 60 or 50-something? I don't know. He looks 70, but he may be 50-something. he may be interested. Yeah.
I doubt it. She ain't thinking about no man. Well, you know what? I'll take that back.
Yeah.
She is a little spicy. She is very spicy.
About.
Woohoo! Yeah, she is something else. She would.
Yeah, she's trying to get out of here with a bang.
Yeah, her mind is real sharp. She's still good, actually. Still good.
Oh, wow.
Still good.
Mm-hmm. So he can always cajole her into saying, this piece of paper will does not mean anything other than I will be with you. She'll go for it.
No, thank you. Yeah, okay. If I go down there and I see her, I'll let her know. And she'll
Where's
probably
she
curse me out for real, though. She's in Monroe, Georgia.
Monroe, 100 years old, she knows a good 3 curse words.
Lots of them. No. She uses them very. Oh, yes. Oh. She got my sister at the party, which was so funny because she was cutting her cake and she snapped on her. Oh, my gosh, it was so funny. But anyway,
she is a spicy old lady.
Like, who told you to cut my cake? Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get started. Tonight we're going to be talking about Bert and Ernie and the influence and also the influence that television has on our kids.
Psychologically.
Yeah, at least that.
There's all types of influence.
Correct.
That's great.
So what we're going to do first is going to start off with our, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I said let's do it.
Okay. Let's start with our black business. Black business.
Well, I like to slap my hands and rub it together because it's like putting cake in a batter. Hold on. Is that right? It's like making cake. There you go. All right. Anyway, before we do the black business, let's start off with our social media. But don't forget to reach us on social media. If you have a black business that you would like to have featured on here, because I would like to expand this story. But if you don't want to come on here and share with us your black business, I can't expand it. Anyway, you can reach us on our social media platforms at 2 Mics and a Mind. That's the number 2 MICSAAND MIND, 2 Mics and a Mind. At Twitter, that's the Twitter sign. We'll put the at sign first and then the number 2 Mics and a Mind. You can also hit us up on email at 2MicsandaMind@gmail.com. Now, let's start this story. So, this young lady, right? I don't know. Should we do it as let's do it as a young lady. This young lady, right? She meets this guy, right? So the guy says, "Hey, let's go out on a date." She says, "No problem. We can do the date thing." So the next day, she wakes up and she says, "I need some fresh, you know, toiletries and things of that nature. So who am I gonna reach out to? For Raw Products. They have the best and most natural soaps, deodorants, toothpaste, and other type of home toiletries that you would need, grooming toiletries that you would need, hygiene for your body." But she didn't know the number. So she knocked on her roommate's door, and she said, "Roomie, what is the number and the website for Raw Products?" Her roomie said,
"It is BarahProducts.com, BarahProducts.com. They are also on Amazon.com.
Thanks, Roomie. So she goes out, she gets on the web, she hits up Barah Products. Boom, she gets her great hygiene product. Now, she's thinking, "And this guy really smelled great. So how am I going to compete with that? I need to make sure that I can hold my freshness throughout the course of the day." So what does she do? She thinks about your oral gives you some of the finest and most affordable fragrances that you could possibly get. Now, her roommate, she knocked on her roommate's door again and said, "Hey, what's that 1-800 number, your oral?" She said, "1-800 number? It's not 1-800 your oral. It is
678-421-4327.
Ask for Nika." Yes. Ask for Nika. She would get you your oral. Now, you get that oral from Nika, you might get 5% discount. I don't know.
Are you
saying
oil?
Going.
Are you saying
I
oil?
I said oil. Oral.
Okay.
I think they from like Oklahoma or somewhere. The things that they say is kind of, you know, tainted. I don't know these people.
From the state.
What's that language? I don't know where they're from. Yeah, they mm-hmm. big accent. So yeah. Now, nigga. Your oil. I like the old name better. Get your oils. But hey, not my company. So now she is smelling good. She hollered and got her oil, and she said, "Yo, I smell good. I'm feeling good. Now what I'm gonna do?" So they go out on their dates. They doing their thing. Time goes on. The man ends up liking her. She likes him. They in a relationship. Now it's time for his birthday. Now she is trying to figure out, what can I get this man? He is an upscale young brother. He is doing his thing. So her buddy comes along and says, hey, you need to shop at Cadell Products. Cadell had all the upscale fragrances, you know. Because I'm sure you used your oil, and now it's time for you to step up a little bit for this man. And now you got you some high-end luxury grooming products. And some high-end luxury grooming fragrances. Cadell Products can be reached at. All right, www.cadellproducts.com, and the phone number is 770-875-2578.
Totally distracted.
Now,
sorry.
Totally distracted, but it's all good because it's all part of the story. So the roommate got distracted because she was hating that, you know, the girl got her oil, and now she got her man, and they're smelling good, and they're feeling good, and looking good. Now, time goes on, they got married, they got a family and everything. The man starts a business. He is going to start doing distribution and trucking. He wants to get his stuff around the globe. You know what I'm saying? They're blowing up. But now, he hooks up with this company, SC Trucking, Special Carrier, Super Carrier, Strategic Carrier. What's the main S word?
Successful carriers.
Mm-hmm. There you go, successful carriers. All right, so now he is hooked up with SC Trucking. SC Trucking is getting his freight around the United States and here and there. But before you can get your freight shipped out all around, what's the phone number, SC Trucking?
770-760-0627. They also offer warehousing for your freight. I have a connection for that as well. The number is 770-760-0627. You can call that number. That will direct you to the warehousing department.
Look at that. So, won't he do it? Now this man got a business. He got a woman. They smelling good. They looking good. He is holding his freight to be shipped from Atlanta to Texas and from Mississippi to Colorado. Look. They're doing big things. So everybody's happy, everybody has a business in place, and everybody's feeling well. And that is our small business segment for tonight.
Very good. Yay, we did that. All right.
Oh yeah.
Again, if you would like for us to mention your business, please contact us on our social media outlets. And if you would like to comment tonight and be a part of our show, the number is 929-477-2762. And you ask, what are we talking about tonight? We're going to be talking about Bert and Ernie and the influence television has on our kids. We will have a special guest who will talk about that, who deals with the psychological issues with children. And now, we're going to go to our newsroom. Okay, people. Quick question. Did you know that Michael Jordan donated $2 million for hurricane relief in North Carolina? Can we give him a hand for that?
Mm.
We happy for that, right?
Why?
Okay.
Why he just didn't give him some today?
Why didn't he give them what?
Why he just didn't give them some J's?
Give them what?
What? Some J's, some tennis shoes.
What are they going to do with that?
Walk they behind from their house to the car and get out of the state.
Okay. Well, he donated $2 million, so they can allocate it, I guess, how they see fit.
Yeah, they
got to
steal the money.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well. Hopefully not. Hopefully the people that it needs to go to will get their hurricane relief. You know,
I'm not impressed.
You're not impressed by $2 million?
Not impressed at all. I mean, I like Jordan now. Don't get me wrong. Jordan's a man. He's much better than LeBron. But
wow,
$2 million is not going to go to anybody's hand who actually needs it. It's actually going to go to people who are going to allocate that money into their own funds. And that's it. That's over with. I mean, ain't no black people going to get it. Maybe one or two high-end Caucasians may, or, you know, maybe even one or two high-end crooked black people may get it, but it's not going to go into the hands of anybody who needs it. And then what's $2 million anyway? I mean, I know some people say, well, at least he donated. You donate something. I ain't got
that's
$2 million,
me.
But,
that's
but
me.
You know, at the same time, what is $2 million? What is $2 million? What is $2 million? I mean, it's cool, but we know the people aren't getting it. You know what would have made me more impressed? If he would have said, you know what, give me 2,000 families or 3,000 families, and I'm going to give them this. I'm gonna break up this $2 million for those families by check. Here's a check. Go help yourself out. Did you
okay.
have?
I mean, people just can't win them all. I mean, I just can't please y'all.
I mean, I'm just saying it just don't do nothing to me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael Jordan, for your donation. Okay, the next did you know that Steve Harvey lost he's going to be losing his show? It's going to be gone, like, soon? He's going to be replaced by Kevin Hart.
I'll tell you, boy. Thank you. Where the hand clap at?
I'm playing. Yeah. Hey, yay, I'm happy too.
No, you're not. You love the Steve Harvey show.
No, have not. Do not watch that. No, sir. Not interested. Okay. The next one is Bill Cosby's wife.
Hold on. Wait. Why is he losing the show?
Because his ratings are low. I mean, first, he's losing the show because everybody has their run. He's made all his money. He's been on top for a long time, for about five to eight years, something like that. He's been on top for a long time. You know how they do.
Yeah.
When they
fed you enough, they
take the plate.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the show a couple of times while I'm out lollygagging around in different locations. And, you know, he has a beard now. He has a gray, scraggly beard.
Yeah,
he
looks
like that guy.
Nice.
Oh, him? Man, he look like, he look dirty, man. He looks like that guy who be in a park with this trench jacket on. He'll run up on you and be like, ha-ha.
Oh, my gosh.
There don't be nothing on under that trench. Yes, he does. He looks horrible.
Okay, moving on. The next one is going to be, we're talking about Bill Cosby's wife, Camille. She's expected to file a complaint with the Judicial Conduct Board of Pennsylvania on Monday. This is against the judge that's supposed to sentence her husband. And the reason why she's saying this is because he presided over an unfair trial for her husband, so she didn't want him to sentence him. But I'm thinking, you know, she's trying to make him mad so he can send us longer, you know what I'm saying? She might want him, you know, because I just don't see why you would say that and do that before somebody actually sentences your spouse, but, you know.
Isn't he in
maybe
appeal
not.
Or is he broke? I don't know.
I don't think he can get an appeal.
Oh, really?
I didn't think he'd get an appeal. I don't know.
You know, what I find amazing is that, you know, another piece of news, that Brett Kavanaugh is being accused of raping and everything, but no, still going to the judge, but yet you have condemned Bill Cosby of molesting and touching and raping, quote-unquote, allegedly, women from 1925 to now, and no one's saying anything about Brett Kavanaugh, other than Trump.
Eventually, they will.
No, I mean, yeah, they're trying, but they're not doing anything. It's not going to go anywhere. I mean, I think today, earlier in the news, they were saying that they are going to go ahead and pass pass his appointment on through if she doesn't step up to say publicly, I guess in whatever arena that they want her to say it in, that she was touched or molested or raped. But, I mean, that's the whole thing is ridiculous. I remember when you first said it, I really didn't think it was going to go anywhere, but this story has grown legs.
Yes, it will. I told you, when you add them little, okay. Another one is about yesterday there was a shooting at Madison, Wisconsin software company. And it was for a 43-year-old shooter. His name was Anthony Tong. He,
Anthony what?
Tong, T-O-N-G.
T-O-N-G. He can call your oral, and they can work together.
Three people were seriously wounded in the attack, and they remained hospitalized. And the place where he works, the atmosphere, they have a YouTube video about the place. It's WTS Paradigm. They make software, and they have a YouTube video about how their atmosphere is. Nobody knows why, of course, why he did this and, you know, what prompted this, but they're really trying to find out, but I guess he's not talking yet. And the YouTube video about this place is depicting them as having a loose atmosphere, upscale offices, and they have a break room that resembles a bar. They have a ping pong table and shuffleboard table, and the workers wear jeans and sweatshirts, so I don't know if it was stressful or too stressful or not.
What he worked
at?
They
also had a video of them. They had office Olympics there. You know, they were in the chairs and they were throwing trash in the garbage cans. So I don't know what could have prompted him to be like that, but he was.
Where does he work?
WTS. WTS Software. Paradigm.
And they doing all that and he's stressed out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it could be family. It could be nothing, you know. Speaking of that, tonight our topic is going to be talking about the influence that TV has on kids, and we're going to be joined with our special guest, Mr. Moore. His name is Aaron Moore, and the number to call in is 929-477-2762. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Mr. Moore. If you have any questions regarding or any comments regarding Bert and Ernie, we'll be glad to talk to you. Just one moment. Again, the number to call in is 929-477-2762. We are discussing the controversy with Bert and Ernie, and we're going to talk about the influence that television has on children. So, to give you a little background story about this, about what happened, one of the screenwriters for Sesame Street said that Bert and Ernie were a same-sex couple.
They were homosexual.
Same-sex couple.
Okay.
Now, the thing about it is, the guy who did the story about Bert and Ernie, he actually did live with someone of the same sex. He is definitely gay. So
he's an original screenwriter. This isn't like an updated modern screenwriter redoing it. He's the original.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
And he said, as a writer, you just bring what you know into your work, he said. Somehow, okay. An uproar that turned into Bert and Ernie being gay, there is a difference. So he, at first he said they were, and then he's, I guess from all the flag and everybody saying stuff, he's saying that they weren't.
Oh, okay. So now he's backpedaling.
He just, yeah, well, he said that Bert and Ernie were just two guys who loved each other. That's who they are.
Oh,
who love each other. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I mean, when I first heard this story, I was shocked.
Yeah, I was too.
I mean, I don't remember Sesame Street like that. I've seen a few episodes with, you know, with the kids and whatnot, but it never would have. I guess it dawns on you that, like, are these guys gay or are they just partners? Or, you know, they never did nothing gay, but, you know, they're just.
Right.
You know, I guess it is odd that two men, you know, two guys live together, but, you know, you kind of just. I mean,
now
the only thing
is.
On Sesame Street that really. Yeah, the only thing on Sesame Street that really sets you off is, you know, Oscar was a homeless drug addict in a trash can.
Please tell me where
you
see Oscar use drugs. I totally missed the episode.
Hey, look, man. If you go to the Chappelle show, they have the extended version, and you'll see all that. Oscar was a drug addict. Oscar lived.
Oh,
I mean, you live in a trash can. You telling me you ain't do no drugs in a trash can?
Some people live like they live in a trash can, but that don't mean they do drugs.
Well, so, we don't know that. I believe he did. So then you had to count the count. You know, I heard he had AIDS.
Oh, okay. I'm gone.
All right, that's what I heard, man.
We are not going to slander Sesame Street now. They already got enough flag.
Hey, look.
We ain't going to add to it.
The count got the AIDS.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's talk to our special guest. Oh, my gosh. Tonight, and that is going to be Aaron Moore. Let's see here. Hello, Mr. Moore. Hello.
Can he hear?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh.
Hi, Mr. Moore.
How are you?
Hi, Mr. Moore. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for
coming in. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're talking about tonight is Bert and Ernie and the influence that the television has on kids. If you wouldn't mind, just give us a little background on some of the things that you do.
Your experience with kids. We're doing child psychology, family psychology, and just basically family therapy. And it definitely does have an effect on what is shown in front of children. But you have to look at the aspects of what behaviors are being shown, not just what the whole picture's about.
Okay. So are you saying go ahead, Tom.
No, go ahead.
Are you saying because they're not doing anything and it's just showing two guys in a room, so we shouldn't, you know, take that as far as being gay? Because we hadn't until somebody said something, tell you the truth.
And exactly, that's what, of course, that's what's being said. So it's two completely different arguments.
Okay.
If you're talking about how it's affecting the children, if you're talking about, you know, what's being shown to children, how it affects them, that definitely does groom them. But in the case of with Sesame Street and with Bert and Ernie, they never did anything sexual, or it wasn't anything that you would want to shield from your children aside from what you learned at a later time.
Okay.
But wouldn't showing them two men consistently living together and not breaking away from each other, you know, because, you know, like I said, I never really watched Sesame Street. I can't remember Sesame Street like that. And, you know, growing up having kids myself, you know, I think I watched a few times with them. But wouldn't just consistently showing two guys always in the same household, never saying, hey, you know, why don't you go live here, and I'll go live here? Don't you think that has some type of effect on the children?
And that's really cognition when it comes to that point, because when you're asking those type of questions, the audience that's watching those shows, the audience doesn't have an option to go live somewhere else. The people that are watching these shows are children. So from their standpoint, that's their brother. Of course, they see it in a, you know, they're living alone, there's no children, you know, they're running the home. but it's not from the standpoint of, hey, this guy needs to go ahead and move out. You know, a lot of people that will, when the show was being, when those episodes were being aired, and the people that are affected by it now, they saw them as brothers or maybe even best friends. And that's why people are so shocked at this moment when they're finding out that, hey, that it was more to that than what we thought.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I definitely saw them as their friend. I saw them as best friends.
Yeah.
I just definitely didn't anything other
now,
than that.
There are other instances. Recently, me and my wife were seeing the show, and they had, you know, the first same-sex kiss on a child show. And
oh, really?
From
oh,
that, yeah, yes, yes. And from that aspect, no, that wasn't Sesame Street. I don't want to. I don't know the name of the show, so I can't really recall that now. But I do remember that was a large topic when it had first happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. From that standpoint, you get into the argument of what is appropriate and what's normal, because normal is dictated depending on who's saying it, whether it be religion, whether it be sex, whether it be just actions. Because if we're saying this is not something that you can hide from your children, you can take that to the point of, well, what else happens on an everyday basis that we don't want to, quote-unquote, be normal?
So are you saying that television is trying to normalize abnormal behavior nowadays and, you know, that they're justifying it, or what are you saying?
I'm saying that television isn't justifying it. That's how people that believe that way justify it. So some people, that if you don't identify as homosexual, you may have an issue with your child watching a show where they have two same-sex kissing if it's a child show. But if someone does identify as homosexual, they're going to say, this is normal. Why are you trying to hide something that is a part of life away from children when it's something that's normal? Because that's what they believe, and that's what their normal is. So to each person, to a person that may be a murderer, that may be something that's normal. So you're getting to the point to where what is appropriate for children, and that's when the in-home censorship has to happen. So as far
as
are your children just watching these shows alone? Are you not previewing these shows before you're watching your children? What other models are you having in your children's life? Because if you're worried about what's being modeled on TV, if you're not watching it with them or, you know, previewing it for them, what model are you setting yourself?
That's true, because most parents don't television show with their kids. You know, they use the television as a babysitter, and then before they know it, the child's behavior has been, you know, has been modified from something that they're not normally shown at home, and now they're having deviant behavior. So yeah, you're right.
So what's coming from that standpoint as well is, of course, what would be the censorship now. The day is different now. It's not as easy just to censor everything. You can find anything, you know, when you open an iPad or a phone. So what's going to be put into the public broadcaster would be the issue, because if that's what Sesame Street is shown on, it's not a cable channel. It's not something that, you know, you have to reach out for. But so there's no way that you can, you know, block that from somebody without constantly being on it. So I guess that would be the argument on what should be public, or, you know, should things just be public? Because in some places they have the internet blocked, and you can't go on these types of things just as far as what the nation agrees to.
Yeah.
This is true. Now, what about the younger – what are your thoughts about younger kids? I know there are some good television. You can – actually, they're good, very good episodes that teach sound and shapes and colors, you know, in good ways and things like that. But – how do you feel about parents using that as a guide or a tool to educate their children?
I think that's perfectly well. There's not an issue with using television at all to educate children. It's just you have to know what's being shown. So with those types of things, you can kind of tailor how that's coming to them. Of course, I mean, that's the way people are learning now. So that's not an issue at all with that. No, that's what you're utilizing. They have apps for that. They have games for that. And that's, you know, becoming what the new normal is.
Yeah.
I mean,
even some cartoons, I think, they show kids how things function in real life. You know what I'm saying? They can kind of get a world. They can kind of look and see how things function in real life. You know, feelings with relationships. They have friends. And when somebody doesn't like you, you know, things that they may not encounter personally, they can kind of see that happen on cartoons and different shows. So I do think there's some valuable life lessons that a child can learn through TV
yes.
as well. But, of course, it definitely starts with the parents.
I would agree to that.
And the other thing is, okay, a lot of times intent can get tied up with that. So
yeah.
what we have to understand is that although these shows are completely helpful, nothing that's going to be on TV is going to be non-biased. Everything is going to come from a direction or the way that one person parents or another. So you might find a show that's completely positive, but it may be over-emotional as to what you allow in your house.
Exactly.
So
that's what
these
I
things
to bring
also,
up.
So if they're going to watch it, these things are going to be out there. You can't hide them from everything. You can't censor everything. This is the point to where you're going to have those conversations. And you have to talk about what's being on and see how it's affecting them. That way they can get your family standpoint and be able to deal with those things the way that, you know, it would be an ideal situation. Because I myself, I'm guilty of that. I have sons, and I cut the TV on for them, and I'll go do something totally different. So it's not like this is not something that doesn't happen. It's not like TV is just raising the children. But at the same time, you have to be able to talk with them and, you know, understand what's going on. My sons love Power Rangers. I'm not really sure what's educational about Power Rangers or what they can get from that. But I do know sometimes they get riled up, and I'll come in there, and they'll be fighting each other with swords.
Yeah.
So you have to explain to them, this is not for school. These people on TV are not going to get hurt. You can't just flip off of that. You can't hold this as a gun and scream power blast at your brother, because when they're doing it on the show, how is it affecting them? Do you want your brother to do power blast and not be able to be alive tomorrow? You know, just from those type standpoint, just to know what's going on.
Yep.
But it definitely has an effect. Because, I mean, sometimes my boys believe that they are the red and black power or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So just the follow-up to it. Because those things are going to be out there. And right now, if you were born in a different age, it seems crazy. The fact that, you know, some of these things are on there. But even when we were younger and my parents were younger, there were gay people in their school. It just wasn't normal, but these are how these people felt.
Yeah. Yep.
It's good that you brought that up, because I was going to bring up the intent aspect of it too. You know, because, you know, my daughter, she likes to watch SpongeBob at times, or she'll watch it's another show it's almost like a Survivor, but I have to tailor it and you know what I'm saying, and cut it off and, you know, kind of like guide her through the show while we're watching it, because I've noticed that SpongeBob and Patrick, they'll do just ridiculously dumb things, you know what I'm saying, and you know, you have to talk with them and say, hey, look, people don't really behave like that in real life, you know, you can't be as ignorant as SpongeBob and Patrick just walk in somebody's house and do something stupid. Or sometimes when I listen to the intro to the other show, it says, I want to be famous. You know, that's one of the lines. I can't remember how the whole song goes, but it'll say, I want to be famous and whatnot. And I say, see, these people are sitting on their show on a cartoon, and they'll say, I want to be famous. But you have so many kids and so many adults who want to be on television, who want to get notoriety for those 5 or so minutes, and they want to be famous. So, you know, you have to look at the intent of what that television show is saying and doing, even on their song, on what they're saying, what they're doing, you know, so that way your kids isn't, you know what I'm saying, you know, tainted later on, you know, and have some kind of weird behavior that they go to school and they start, you know, mimicking what they see on television. So, you made a good point with that.
Yeah, most definitely. So,
but
it's like, you know,
I was saying, even when we were growing up, we got to look at even our shows that we looked at growing up, like the Smurfs, Fraggle Rock, Scooby Doo.
Oh, I used to love Fraggle Rock. Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, they were cooking mess.
Who?
Hey, look, Fraggle Rock.
That was cooking meth.
That was crystal meth. That's why it was called Fraggle Rock. The man was after them with the dog. They were the meth cookers. He wanted to go ahead and distribute the meth. They also said, we want to distribute our own meth. There you go. That's how you ended up with Fraggle Rock.
And what you have to realize is just how we said earlier, as far as like with intent, and how these writers of these shows are still normal people. A lot of times when people get that status and they become, you know, they become more than what they are. I remember people got upset when they found out Barney was smoking and he was doing something, and it's like he's still a human. So those people that made Fraggle Rock might have been doing meth, and they're not trying to put meth into the show, but they're putting, you know, what they do in the everyday, you know, their everyday
right.
life.
Right, that's what the guy said
writing
with
about
the,
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so small things might come up that you don't know about unless you're in that lifestyle. So, you know, before, you know, we were older, before we were older and, you know, realized what, you know, same-sex couples were, to us they were brothers. Now you're older and it's like, hey, that's a little creepy.
That's a lot creepy. And I didn't know Barney was smoking. I knew Barney was gay, but I didn't know he was smoking. Was he a pedophile? He was a pedophile, that's what it was.
It was just something that was frowned upon in public. Let me not misquote.
Barney was out there. The Teletubbies,
yeah.
They were gay. Teletubbies were gay.
Yeah.
I was Barney
for
one of my niece's birthday parties. That was so fun.
The Teletubbies? Yeah.
Huh?
Oh my goodness. You bought the Teletubbies?
No, I was Barney.
Oh, man.
At a birthday party.
Oh, you were.
I sure was.
Yeah.
I wore the costume.
You're not
going to
let
I
that
sure
down.
Did.
You're not going to live that down. You're not going to live that down.
Yeah. But Sesame Street issued a statement. They said, as we have always said, Bert and Ernie are best friends. The first statement read, they were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves. Even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, as most Sesame Street puppets do, they remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation. That is from Sesame Street.
Okay. And aside, they said that they did not have a sexual orientation. They said they were two very different people. And I don't feel like they said anything wrong, but at the same time, in my eyes, that still doesn't make them not gay. I mean, maybe at that point they weren't gay. Maybe that's not how you took it. But if the person that wrote it said that he was modeling after it, that is what it is. They might have been best friends. I know a lot of couples that are best friends. I think that's a great thing. You know, a great basis to a relationship is a friendship.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's not writing anything off. That's
so he's still gay, no matter what. They have relations.
They don't have. Yes, I mean, there's something. But, I mean, I don't feel that it was a big enough issue to, you know, be on high alert. Now, if they want to, you know, try to do damage control about it, that's up to them. Protect your brand, fine. But,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's too late. Now. I mean, that's protecting the brand is out the window. Yeah, it's too late for all that. I mean, your writer came out and said that they loved each other.
They actually had, who was that, LeVar Burton? He even said that he was like, yeah, everybody know they were gay. They were always gay,
what?
You know, talking about it. Yeah, yes, he did.
I didn't know. Growing up, I didn't know. I mean, like, you know, like you said, you probably started thinking later on in life, you'd be like, man, that is kind of odd.
I still never thought
about
it. I just never thought about it. I don't know if that's because of the times that it wasn't really as...
It wasn't popular like that, you know.
Popular, good word for that. Yeah, back then. So I wouldn't have been looking for it. I wouldn't have thought that. Not when my kids were growing up.
Exactly.
Now, here's a question for both of you guys. If homosexuality wasn't such a in thing as it is now, would you have still thought that Bert? Would you still thought that Bert and Ernie were gay? Or if the writer would have said that they were gay, would you have, you know, looked at the situation a little bit more differently than you look at it now?
I would still be in shock. I'd still be like, what? No. You know, in denial, I guess you would say. Because I really wouldn't think that they're gay. I would be shocked like I am when I found out that they said that. I was like, what? Really? I never looked at them like that.
I don't know if I would be shocked. I would probably be less shocked now because, you know, by all means, no, President Donald Trump, so not much is shocking. So I don't know if it would be something that's shocking, but I still don't think that it's something that should be forced.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on a TV, yeah. Yeah. I don't think the writer would have even came out and said that they were gay if it wasn't such a in thing now.
And accepted,
maybe he's trying to, yeah, you know, maybe he's trying to pander to, you know what I'm saying, a different crowd. Maybe he's coming out with his own show and a version of Bert and Ernie that he wants everybody to, you know, the homosexual community to support. I don't know, but it's amazing. It's amazing what they put on.
I know, people are just trying to really just tarnish in the poor little Sesame Street. Even not that they are the Sesame Street characters, but, you know, that new movie with Melissa McCartney. And what is it called? Oh, I can't think of her. I'll think of it. It's a movie that she has with some some puppets. And, there, you know, Jim Henson had a problem with that when it came out.
No, I don't recall that movie.
Yeah, it just came out. It's called Happy Time Murderers. And it's with a puppet. Of course, it looks like a Jim Henson puppet and all that. But so I think people are on a mission against Mr. Henson, I guess.
He never said anything when Chucky came out, so, you know, I don't know why he's so riled up now, but, you know, whatever. Do your children watch Sesame Street or things of Sesame Street?
My children were really big on Elmo when they were, like, 1.5 to 2 years old, and they grew out of it on their own. I mean, but it wasn't really the focus. What was never Bert and Ernie, but, I mean, you could question Elmo's sexuality.
See, that's true. Elmo and Tweety, yeah, you were. I mean, even though Tweety is a different character, but Elmo had a soft voice, and, you know, he was pretty out, though.
Tickle Me.
Yeah,
oh.
Pooh. Pooh had a pretty soft voice and a half shirt. Yeah.
Oh, no pants. Yeah.
Who are you saying? Winnie the Pooh.
Pooh, yeah.
Sir,
Winnie the Pooh walked around with his half shirt and his
sir, you would
his
not
friend
run down
to
Winnie
bounce
the Pooh.
His tail all day. Like, what was Tigger doing? Just bouncing?
Oh, yeah, this is true.
Tigger was on drugs or something, I don't know.
Yeah, just, he was entirely too excited all day not to be on something. So, I mean, it's just a lot of those things are so innocent, and they don't want to make them sexual. And when you bring out sexual, when you become older, the lack of sexuality makes you think the opposite. And I think maybe that's what the issue is with a lot of these shows, because you don't want to put boys kissing girls in the forefront. But then as you get older, you start giving these characters that you grew up with these adult-like behaviors. And it's like, well, where was Winnie the Pooh's girlfriend? But if Bert and Ernie would have had a girl come over every other episode, how would you have felt about that?
Oh, that was a good person.
It becomes inappropriate for children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes TVMA.
So if you know, this random girl showed up to the apartment and decided to spend the night, you know, once or twice a week, where was she going to sleep at?
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, knowing them two jokers, she would have slept on in the living room.
Either way, you know what I'm saying? Just these
right.
Guests, there would have been somebody to say something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When this little girl wants to go hang out with her two guy friends at the house, then daddy's going to be upset.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's just...
Exactly.
It's, when it comes to TV, I mean, I guess just who are we going to piss off? Because it's not nobody...
Yeah.
There's no two people that are exactly the same.
Who's going to?
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me tell the people... Let me get the number out again. If you have any comments, you can call 929-477-2762. Let's see. Yeah.
Yes, I mean,
did you hear about that theory? Did you hear about that theory about Winnie the Pooh and, you know, the rest of the Pooh gang actually being symbolisms for psychological disorders?
I did hear that, and I think they said because – Eeyore was depressed. I think they said Tigger had ADHD.
Yeah, ADHD.
Winnie the Pooh had, was he bipolar or was that Piglet?
Piglet was bipolar. Winnie may
have
been,
my gosh.
Schizophrenic.
Yeah, I think Winnie was he was schizophrenic. So, yeah, I did hear about that. And from that aspect, as we say, when you grow older, you have different experiences. Whatever's going on in your life, you can relate something to. When you were a teenager, as girls, I can remember my sisters growing up, they would hear a song, and because boys were big in their life, they would have a story about some boy at this school. Point blank, period. Whatever is prevalent in your life is what you're going to draw out of everything. When people get really heavy in religion, everything strikes back to what they heard in church. When people are doing drugs, everything that they say makes them want to do drugs. It's what's going on to you, and a lot of things, like we said, there's people that do everything in every corner of life. So, yeah, you're going to be able to find these similarities and everything, because in some way, everybody's similar, although we're different, and that's how they were saying with Bert and Ernie, you know, two people that were completely different, able to get along, you have some similarities, or there's going to be somebody that enjoys the same things that you do that might enjoy the something that someone else does, so there's no way that you can just fully define them by simple characteristics as far as, yeah, they could be gay, yeah, that could be meant for mental health. It can mean anything. They don't put anything too direct in it because they don't want to make anybody feel identified. But by making nobody feel identified, you make everybody feel identified.
So just depending on what picture you're looking at, the only thing, just depending on what mental illness picture of Winnie the Pooh you're looking at for the audience, there's just a variety. Some people say that Winnie had an eating disorder. Some will say Eeyore had major depressive disorder. Some will, the only one that's consistent among all of the pictures, no matter which one you look at, is the schizophrenia aspect of the young boy. That's the only one that has been consistent. Everyone else is like, you know, they kind of vary from Winnie being an alcoholic to Eeyore, to Tigger being a cocaine addict, just depending on what you're looking at.
Oh,
so.
But even still, you could compare him to something else. The terms that I've heard, that when they're saying he was schizophrenic, came from, you know, him talking to these animals and inanimate objects. But, I mean, that definitely makes a lot of sense. But how many other things can be drawn for that? It's the same thing how when people do the blot test and they look at these black blots of ink and they ask you, what do you see? Because it's really just interpretation at that point.
Exactly.
But, yes, I mean, I definitely see how, you know, those things can be drawn out of each of those, and that's very consistent as far as with the schizophrenia. But that's just the point of view that we're looking at it from at this moment. Because you might have somebody call in and see something completely different. They might say he seems like he was adopted because I was adopted and I had toys. You know what I'm saying? So it goes on and on, just depending on who's telling the story. But at least with in the case of Bert and Ernie, we did talk to the writer, so we are sure they were gay. So case in point for that.
He did say that, and he said you bring some of your home to work. So he did say that. It's true. Wow.
I have someone else that may have a perspective on that as well.
Okay.
I think he was trying to get him. Give me one second.
Okay. I don't know why my phone is not allowing my people to get on here tonight. Yes.
Yeah, he's trying to get on now. From that standpoint.
Okay, I have a call. Really, just one second. Let me see. We have a guest. Hold on one second. Thank you
Hello?
For calling. Yes.
Yes. Hi. I want to speak to the topic about Bert and Ernie. I was listening to V103 today, and they were talking about the same issue and concern. And it was interesting that they said the person who claims to have been the writer did not join the Sesame Street writing team until the mid to late 80s, and I think they said 85 or 89, and Bert and Ernie were created in the 60s. So there is no way this person taking that position could have actually done that. So if you want to verify, V103 show is taped. This was doing the Frank Ski and Wanda show, and you can go to their website, V103.com. The entire show is there. And so you will see that there's no way that this person could have possibly been creating those characters, because when they were created, the storyline was created, he did not even work for Sesame Street.
Well, you know, he may not have initially came on as an originator, but, you know, like most shows go, you always have a writing staff that changes, and then with that change in writing staff, the whole dynamic of the show kind of takes on the new look of that writing staff. So maybe from the 60s to whenever the 80s, when that guy mm-hmm. came on, maybe Bert and Ernie had a different type of dynamic and a different type of appeal to the people, where maybe they didn't even stay together. Maybe they were just, you know, they just came
yeah,
out
but
and
see,
got together. Then
yeah,
they went
and,
home,
I,
but
and I think I heard you say you didn't watch it. It never changed. The storyline was always about
no,
the same.
I watched it. I remember
it. Right, but that's what I'm saying. It was nothing dramatic that changed in how they interact with each other. So I'm not gonna go there, and I'm not going to believe that.
Let me ask you a question. So from the 60s all the way up until when this writer came on,
right.
you didn't see any difference?
No. Did nothing change?
You didn't see anything. Nothing changed.
You see what I'm saying? Nothing
changed. So you stayed faithful to what Bert and Ernie were doing throughout the whole
right.
course of that run.
Right. Exactly.
Say, yeah.
Because I was born in 1961, so I was
Ooh.
Watching
mm.
during that time. Excuse me. What y'all
mm.
say?
Mm. Oh, hey.
y'all need to
I
call
mean,
me
you know,
Miss AKA but seriously, all jokes aside, seriously, there was nothing that changed in the dynamics of the relationship, you know, over the course of that time. And here, this is what's happening. You know, someone wants to have credit to, quote, unquote, say, I was the one that did this and I did that, because, of course, what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. In today's society, everybody wants their agenda to be received or to be articulated. And I think because, as this man clearly said he was gay, he lived with his partner, and it was based on their lifestyle. There was nothing gay about Bert and Ernie as far as their interactions. You never saw them kiss. You never saw them hug.
Uh-uh.
And I heard Mr. Moore, and I remember when that cartoon was shown on television where the same-sex people kiss. I remember that. That was last year. And so that is true. That was intentional because, again, what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. Our society wants to be all-inclusive. They don't want to
what
exclude anybody.
What you watch cartoons?
I have two three-year-old grandsons, thank you.
I have two, yeah.
My babies, they love cartoons. But again, so I just want you guys to go back. If you get an opportunity, listen to V103, and you'll hear how they dispelled or shot down this man's response, as well as the company coming back saying that's not what it's about. I think that
yeah,
man
they
did
that
to make him
that. Yeah.
Yeah, to make himself feel good.
Yeah. When you saw that episode of the two kids kissing, what did you tell your grandchildren?
I was not watching with them at the time. Their mother sent me the screenshot, and I went back and I researched it, and I was like, OMG. You know, she said, and honestly, I hate that I can't remember the cartoon, but she sent me the screenshot because there was a lot of communication around the news media about it. And I can't believe you guys didn't catch that. But, yeah, definitely.
I didn't even know anything about it until he pulled it up. But, I mean, I know that they've been doing a lot of homosexual, you know, activities and, you know, agendas within books and television shows anyway. So it doesn't. I'm not surprised. I just didn't know about that specific one.
It was during the exact same time that they talked last year about Bert and Ernie when it first surfaced. That was around the same time frame.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna do my research, and I'm gonna try to get back to you guys as to what cartoon it was. Because I honestly remember everything that's in the internet is always there. Once it's in the cloud, it's gonna always be there.
You know what? Just
right.
Because they also talked about
the Teletubbies and you know one of them being gay. You know, all that was around the same time frame. But listen, guys, I have enjoyed speaking with you this evening. Keep up the good work. You guys have a wonderful show, And I hope to talk to you all soon. And Mr. Moore has done an excellent job in articulating his position based on his background and his studies, and I appreciate that as well.
Thank you for the survey. We appreciate it. Unsolicited. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, wait, excuse me. Hello? Hello? Yes. This person just sent me the cartoon
and that I was speaking to you guys about. So, unfortunately, I have to, and I'm asking you to please bear with me. I need to get my reading glasses. But they actually sent me the cartoon. I tell you, I was born in 61. But they sent me this, the exact same cartoon that they sent me then. And it is two guys. One looks to be like an Indian type guy, and the other one looks to be Caucasian. Disney's first gay kiss airs on Star versus the Forces of Evil.
See,
that is
all
the name of the cartoon.
So demonic. Star.
This article was written March the 3rd, 2017, and it talks about the episode was called Just Friends. A recent episode of Disney finds characters Star, Marco, Jackie attending this concert of their favorite band, and it goes on to say that the music inspired most of the audience to lock lips with their significant other, and a few same-sex couples were included.
But you know what? I'm not surprised because Disney is known for a lot of sexual innuendos, a lot of off color activities
evil.
That they, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, evil, you know.
Disney
that's crazy. I banned them from my TV. Like, I don't even have a Disney channel. So, parents, if you're listening, you know, try to avoid the Disney channel as much as you can because
things are changing. It's time for us.
Disney has always been off the charts. You know, they had Wizards back when Mickey was, you know, what was that, 1940, 1960?
Exactly.
You know, back when he did that. So Disney has always been weird and off key. So
that is true.
Out.
Think about that. What was that show? Wizards of something place, Waverly Place, is something like my kids used to watch. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is so true.
When, you know, he first came out. He did that little. You know, they did that little that long a movie type thing with Mickey, and you know he was doing the orchestra for the music, and you know he put on his
wizard
hat. And, you know,
right, exactly.
Jumping up. Yeah.
All right.
You know, they've always
good night,
been
guys.
Crazy,
thank you. Keep up the good work. Bye bye.
We dismiss you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Don't break your reading glasses. I like her.
We dismiss her. She don't dismiss us. What do you do that at?
Okay. Yeah, I know, right? Blocker.
Wow, this is crazy. Oh, my goodness. First of all, why are kids kissing on TV?
Well,
Mr. Moore,
I mean,
you still there?
I'm right here. How we doing?
Okay. All right.
But yeah, as far as she definitely went with all the fat checking.
Were you able to get your cohort on? Were you able to find your cohort?
No, I couldn't. I tried to get him on a couple times. He said he could not get through. Maybe they were calling at the same time.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in tonight. Thank you so much for joining us and giving your perspective and your expertise.
Thank you
so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
I really
right.
appreciate
you
it. Great
night.
Talking to you.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
That was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to thank the people for listening. Once again, to our 100th episode of Two Mics and a Mind, where we hope that you gain insight and knowledge into your daily life activities.
And yep, if you have kids, pay attention, listen, you know, look up words, you know, look at what things mean. You know, we're smarter, so we have to think smarter, act smarter. be more responsible for the things that we set in front of our kids, you know?
If you would like to be a part of this ministry that we have, feel free to email us a PayPal donation of no less than $50 to 2mikesandamine@gmail.com. Label that paper Julie and Yink. We would gladly.
No, we would not be able to cash it should you do so. But no, if you definitely want to participate with us and you have any thing you want to say, you have an expertise on a particular subject, you can give us a call. We'll get you on and hear what you have to say. I think we do have one more guest on here. Hold on 1 second. Thank you for holding. Would you like to add something to our show tonight?
How you doing? I didn't get a chance to hear everything. In the midst of, actually, I was in and out of work.
Okay. Well, what we're talking about is that you can give us your perspective on the Bert and Ernie, if you like, and the influence that television has on children these days.
Sure. I don't know exactly what the conversation was earlier, if there was a challenge, people having challenges with it. I know that I've heard several people mention, you know, once this whole thing about Bert and Ernie came out, how it's kind of ruined Sesame Street for them, and what does it mean for children in the present? And, you know, the way I looked at it was, you know, was really quite confused because there was nothing to suggest as such, and even watching it now, there isn't anything to suggest as such by the way they behave. They're two guys inside of one room with two separate beds. And so I don't know if the focus should be on whether the fact that Bert and Ernie are gay, more than it is how they behave, and parents that have an issue with it. Again, I'm a therapist myself. I always ask parents to look at themselves and how they behave, and is it really Bert and Ernie that's the influence, or is it what's going on in the house and what's not going on in the house? You know, I'm a father of two kids, and I there's something in every program, and to me, it's all about how you digest that information with your kids. Do you have a conversation with them, whether it's something as innocent as trolls or, you know, a little bit something more serious, like how do I digest that and just have a conversation with them? Yeah, questions, and as the adult, there are things that I see that I pick up on that I might just want to question them about. So is it television, or is it goes back to what happens in the household, like what's going on in my home?
That is exactly right.
Excellent comment.
Thank you so much for calling in and giving us your perspective. We really, really appreciate that. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep, he's exactly right.
Make sure you pay attention to what your kids are doing, not just even just on television, but at school, too. I mean, if your kids are not, no one wants to see their kids 24 hours a day. So those hours that you're away from your kids, talk with them when they come back. What happened? What did you see? You know, but you have to build a rapport with your kids in order for them to start telling you things. You know, because if you don't talk to your kids regularly and now you just pop up and like, hey, is what you call a gay? They're going to be like, nah, I ain't gay. Next thing you know, your kids are swept away with same sex or doing drugs or doing something. You know, that doesn't mean that they still won't do it even if they talk with you, but you want to build a rapport with your kids and make sure that you watch what they're watching and you're involved in their life. Just don't put them somewhere and forget about them. So it's easy to do with a lot going on in your life. You know, it's easy to forget about your children. But if you care, you'll make a way.
Wake up. Wake up. Thank you again. We enjoyed it. Thank you so much for participating and listening to the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. Support our black businesses. If you do have a black business, please contact us at 2mikesandamine@gmail.com, and we will be glad to spotlight your business. All right.
Now follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
We are live. We are playing on Twitter. I mean, you know, we got some decent stuff. You know, we're about to get a little bit more crunk, but we got some decent stuff on Twitter. Follow us, and, you know, let's interact there, too.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much. We will talk to you guys the next time.
Next time, shout it low.